Testing, testing. Good morning, everyone. It is blessed to be here today in the house of the Lord with the saints of God. Hallelujah. It is great to be here, and it is a blessing. This is a special day, a memorial day, and we get to honor those that have fallen. And it is just a privilege that we God has blessed us to be able to observe this day. But I want to make a few announcements here as we get ready. First of all, there is no youth and adult class tonight. Next week is the picnic. The church picnic, we'll be having it here at the outside pavilion. Unless it rains, then it'll be indoors. There will be no Sunday school next week. We will need individuals that wish to help set up. We will need some help with that. Contact Rhonda or be here at 8:30 next week if you wish to help setting up some stuff. Also, bring a covered dish. Also, during 2 weeks here in Ethiopia, from the 10th to the 26th, there's going to be two Sundays that we will not be here. Bear, which is in charge of the sound room, is looking for someone that may be interested in learning how to run it temporarily while we're away. So if anybody wishes to learn, he is willing to teach you and show you the basics to be able to just allow the rest of the congregation to enjoy. So if you are interested in that, please see Bear after service. That way he can help you and you can make arrangements. Okay. Also, Wednesday service, June 9th till the 23rd, till after the 23rd, the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd, there is no evening Wednesday services. So just keep that in mind. The whole month of July, we are collecting supplies for VBS. VBS is going to be in August, the 2nd through the 6th. So we need help once again in there to be able to minister and reach out to those in the community. This is an outreach that our church does for the community, and it is just a blessing to be able to participate and be able to minister to those in the community. So praise God. Lastly, the water baptism. Those that are interested in being baptized, see the pastor. It is on the 18th of July. So I encourage any of those that have been born again and have not been baptized, see the pastor, be baptized, and just enjoy the blessings of the Lord. So with that, we will move on. Praise God. As we said earlier, today is Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. We celebrate it, at least, actually, this whole weekend. We call it Memorial Day weekend. It is the American holiday we use to observe and to honor the men and women that have fallen during their duty of serving in the U.S. military. Originally, it was known as a Decoration Day. It started in the years following the Civil War to honor those who died in battle by decorating the graves of soldiers. Since then, the holiday has been changed to commemorate American military personnel who have died in all wars serving in the U.S. military. It is a great honor. It is, I know as we go on, a lot of people have lost touch with Memorial Day. It is a day where we have cookouts and you grill. But it is a day to honor those who have fallen in the line of duty to give us the freedoms that we have. A lot of us don't realize, because we haven't been in actual war, don't realize what we have been granted. Anyone that has been in war and has faced battle and seen fellow brothers and sisters fall at their side know the reality of the horror that war brings. Even in our own country today, we see that we are at odds. Civil war happened back in the 1860s. And we have to realize we are on the verge of it now. We are in a divided country. And we have to be very careful because we are forfeiting freedoms. They are taking freedoms away from us. And these men and women that died so that we can have the freedoms we enjoy today, we must remember and we must honor. They gave the greatest price that was able to be paid, and that was their life. So we must remember, we must honor them. Families all across this nation, in every, I guarantee you, every family has been touched by war killing a member within their family. Every family. Somewhere, it may not be your immediate family, but down through your family, I guarantee you, your grandparents or friends have been hit by this horrific war results that brings death. So we must once again not forget as this weekend goes and allow ourselves to remember. And at this time, I would just like to take a moment of silence. Let's just bow our heads and remember, because there's some even here that may have loved ones or friends that were lost at war. And we just want to take a time of silence right now. Just with our heads bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day that you have allowed us to be able to honor those that have fallen. Father, we thank you even more yet, Father, for those that have paid the ultimate price of giving their life so that we may enjoy the freedoms that we have today. Lord, I pray that you would minister and help the Golden Star families, those that have lost loved ones in the midst of these wars, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them this time as they remember and day after day of the loss they have dealt with. And I just pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them and allow them to know that what they have done, Lord, was not done in vain. But what they have done, Lord, was in honor of you, so that we could enjoy the freedoms. So, Father, I just pray that you would strengthen them and allow your blessings to be upon them. Father, let us not forget the price that they paid, but let us continue to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to them, so that, Father, along with them, we may give you honor and glory. So, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be at each and every memorial event this week to be able to open up our eyes to the truth, Lord, that freedom is not free. And that, Lord, our freedom was bought with a price, and it was the price of lives. So, Father, I just pray that we would not forget it, but that we would be grateful in heart, and that we would once again honor these individuals, even with the lives we now live. So, Father, we ask this all. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So, there's a song I like hearing that goes right along with that. And I would like my son, if he can, to play it. The words may come up.
Where the river meets the sea, white crosses without number, lying the fields of peace. And each one a silent witness staring back at me.
And every cross a story of another place and time, where young men thought it worthy to give their life for mine. And for the sake of honor, left their dreams behind. And for the price they paid, I'm forever in their debt. Their memory will not die, 'cause I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the ones who had to die. I will live what I believe, if I know what else but me. To remember the freedom's never free. On another hillside, just outside the city gates, the battle lines were drawn as soldiers took their place. The father watched in silence as the cross was raised. The freedom drawn closer, he took his final breath. He drank a cup of guilt and took the sting from death. Heaven's finest soldier clothed in human flesh. And for the price he paid, I'm forever in his debt. The cross will never die, 'cause I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live what I believe, if I'm no one else but me. To remember, freedom's never free. I will walk free, I will stay free, I will live free, I will die free. Stand, hold my head up high, I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who has to die. I will live what I believe, no one else but me. I will remember, I will stand, hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live what I believe, if I'm no one else but me. I will remember the freedom never free.
Praise God. Praise God. Remembering. We have to remember what we have. What it cost to get what we have today. And it was lives. And we must never forget that. And always keep it in our hearts and in our prayers. And for those especially that are overseas, at this very moment, there are people in the military fighting for our freedoms so that we can remain free. Because there is people that want to take it from us. To have freedom, we must be prepared to sacrifice our lives so that our children, because it's not just all about us, it's for the generations that follow. We're enjoying what men in the past have dealt. We said this started with the Civil War. That was a war that they claim more soldiers were killed during the Civil War than all the other American wars that we had. But that was amongst ourselves. So let us once again not be careful not to fight amongst ourselves. But we have been given a freedom. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion to be able to stand here and worship the one true God. That is a right we have been given through the sacrifice of those individuals that gave their life. Praise God. James 4, verse 1 says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you do not have, so you will scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them." That is life in the world today. God back end knew man. That is man. And it has been man from the beginning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. War has been with us ever since the beginning. Adam and Eve here, I'm reading in Genesis 4, starting in verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." We see the first murder in history. And it was right after. It didn't even last one generation until killing took place. God approved of Abel's offering, but not Cain. Cain became jealous and angry as he pondered on God's approval of Abel's offering and not his. instead of heeding the instructions of God to repent and do what is right, Cain hid the sin of pride and jealousy in his heart. Jealousy turned to anger. Anger then escalated to hatred. And for this hatred for his brother then resulted in Cain killing his brother. As we go back to James, we see that the first murder happened because Cain wanted the approval of God that Abel had and did not obtain it because he did not do it the way God told him he needed to do it. God even said if he did it the way he told him to do it, by repenting and doing what's right, he said, even your brother will desire you and serve you as the older brother. Cain, because he did not take it to the Lord and deal with it there, but hid it in his heart and tried to deal with it with himself, it just harbored in his heart. I want to tell you, jealousy, anger, and hatred do not just go away. They are in there. And the sad part is, a lot of times what happens is it takes root in your heart and starts growing till it gets so great we do something that we will regret later. The first murder happened because Cain wanted the approval of God that Abel had, and it did not want to obtain God's approval the way God told him to. Instead, he killed his brother to rid himself of the jealousy that angered him and the hatred that consumed his thoughts and moved him to sin. At the death of Abel, his blood spilled out on the ground, and the life that is in the blood cried out to God, and God heard it. Every life that dies, God sees. He said, there ain't a sparrow that falls that I don't know about. And how much more are we of a great value than sparrows? God knows when we spill the blood, give the life, because the life came from him. The life, all life, is precious to the Lord. That is why he told us not to kill one another in Genesis chapter 9. As a result of Abel's death and cry, God punished Cain with a curse for the rest of his life. Though all life is precious to God, the blood-spilt life taken from saints are especially precious to the Lord because they are his own. That comes from Psalms 116:15. We are God's special treasure, and our life is especially valuable to him because we are his children. Why is the life of the saint precious? Because they are made in his image. Genesis 1:27-28 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl in the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God created man in his image so that he could commune with them and build a relationship with them. He blessed man and crowned them with glory above all other creatures. Everything else he created in this world, he did not give the glory and honor that he has given man. Above all creation, we are granted the glory and honor of having the image of God. These blessings were given so that so that we could use what God has given us to revere God while developing a love for Him that brings glory to His name. He wanted humanity to have a fellowship with Him that will increasingly grow and mature in a relationship that would last forever. Man was not intended to die. We were intended to live forever. We were created for that. But sin came in and it separated us from fellowship with God because we no longer were in right standing with God. We chose to trust Satan and his lies instead of God and truth. Our desire to have what God had caused, caused us to sacrifice and kill our relationship with God to gain knowledge quickly instead of faith through Him. At the garden, if you remember, Adam and Eve, there Eve looked at the tree and saw that it was good. Good not only to look upon, but good to gain knowledge. A lot of us want to gain knowledge, but the problem with knowledge is knowledge puffeth up, Scripture says. And we have to gain knowledge under God's guidance and supervision. God directs us so that we are able to take the knowledge and allow wisdom to work its way in our life. Just because we have knowledge doesn't mean we know how to use it. It takes the wisdom of God to teach us how to use knowledge to bring glory to God and to be able to benefit our lives and those around us. Thus sin entered into mankind through one man, Adam. And war had been part of humanity ever since, claiming the lives of the unrighteous and the righteous in every battle fought. God was not pleased with Adam and Eve's actions, but His love for humanity caused Him to prepare a plan of redemption in eternity past so that mankind could be saved despite His fallen state. God knew we were going to fall before He even created us. But He had such a love for us, knowing what we were going to do, He says, I'm going to make a plan that would reconcile them back to Me. Because I love them so much. We ask, what else makes saints' life precious to God? They are redeemed by His only begotten Son. We have been bought with a price. We are precious to Him. Scriptures tells us here, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen up, those in adult Sunday school. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's a memory verse for us adults. We have to realize God's intention is not to punish us, to condemn us to the lake of fire. That was for Satan and his followers, his angels. God wants us to have life and have it abundantly with Him. In 1 Peter 1 it says, the saints were redeemed not with corruptible things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish, the Lamb without spot. God sacrificed His Son so that we may have life. Life isn't just what we see here. Life is more than the body. Life is more than just the food we eat. It is so much more. It is a life and relationship with our Creator. That is life. It is not going to work, making money, coming home, eating, drinking, going to sleep, and then waiting for the weekend, hoping that you have a blessed weekend. And then you wait then for retirement to hope that you can enjoy retirement and find out that it's not all you think it is anyway. There's only one thing that fulfills us in life, and that is Christ and Christ alone. That is the void that all men must fill, but we fill it with everything but with Him. There is no remission of sin without shedding of blood. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man had to die because he sinned. Man is made up a physical being and a spiritual being. Therefore, when death came, he had to die physically and spiritually. It was his payment for disobedience to God, the holy judge of all creation. Death has to do with separation. Our physical death is the separation of this body from our spirit and our soul. It happens and we go. We no longer have this body. The spirit goes to be with the Lord. But spiritual death is separation of us from God, His mercy, and His grace. You, in hell, we can cry, or those individuals will cry day and night in agony, pleading for God's mercy, and God will not hear them. Because today is the day for salvation. Today is the day that we serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. Don't wait till tomorrow, because we may not have tomorrow. God does not delight in punishing the sinner, so he had his only holy, perfect, sinless Son, hallelujah, Jesus, take on human flesh, God incarnate, so that he could have blood circulating through his body to be shed and poured out to make atonement for all of mankind, from Adam the whole way up until the last individual born. Jesus' blood paid the price for everyone. That is great power in the blood. Hallelujah. Because he was sinless, his blood could be used to pay for the redemption of humanity for their sin. It was only pure blood that could appease God's holy, righteous wrath on mankind. Nothing else in all of creation could have paid the price for mankind. God and God alone had to pay it himself. And he did it through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the sacrifice that we must continue to remember. It is for this reason Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, "For this is my blood, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin." At the Last Supper, Jesus said, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." These emblems that we take once a month remind us of what Christ has done. It says, We are to, as often as we take communion, we aren't limited to once a month. That's what we choose. But as often as we take communion, we are to remember Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Not just one. They all combine. Without any one of them, Christ's life is meaningless. You must have His life, His death, and His resurrection so that the scriptures can be fulfilled that God is true. Hallelujah. We remember Jesus in His life and His death and His resurrection so we do not forget the price it cost God to save us and the blessings that come with those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And to walk in a spirit, in the Spirit, developing a personal relationship with the Son and the Father. Our memorial is to remember and honor Christ for what He has done, not just on a specific day, but every day. Not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not just on a day like Memorial Day, Easter, or Christmas. Those are not just days that you want to remember Jesus. We remember Him every day because He's there every day. We need Him every day. We must continue to remember. And just as those fallen soldiers of those families that have lost loved ones, did you think they forgot the price that their loved one gave? No, they remember that day in and day out. Some of them cry day in and day out. We should be on our knees crying for what Christ did for us because we weren't worthy of it. But He gave His life so that we might have life. And not only have life, He said, but have life abundantly. Not just make it in life. God wants us to have a life that is overflowing with joy and peace. Too many of us walk around saying, woe is me. No. Blessed am I because of what He has done. And I must remember that. And it is only up to Harry to honor God. It isn't up to Steve to honor God for Harry. We each honor God for what we know He has done for us. And as we do that, we become light shining to those around us. Our memorial is to remember and honor Christ for what He has done. It is from a heart of gratitude that those who have passed are remembered. If we are thankful for what people did, we remember them. But it is from a heart of love that a life is touched and changed to a lifestyle that amplifies what they stood and fought for that honors them. When those people gave their life, they died for something. Something that they believed in. What do we believe in? What did we see that they believed in? And what are we doing with the belief that they had that they shared with us? There's a poem that says, flatter their souls with deeds. It goes like this. How shall we honor them, our deadless dead, with screws of laurel and the stately tread, with blaze of banners brightening overhead? Nay, not alone these cheaper praises bring. They will not have this easy honoring. How shall we honor them, our deadless dead? How keep their mighty memories alive? In Him who fills their passion, they survive. Flatter their souls with deeds and all is said. With what we do is what honors that have already, those that have fallen. What we do with what they have blessed us with, what they have believed, shows that we honor them. When we hold up the truth of the gospel, when we hold up, I was just in the car with my wife this morning, and we getting some political things about issues, and all of us know what's happened to the country. But the freedoms that we got, freedoms of speech, gives each American the liberty to say what they feel. The freedom to believe what they want to believe. That is a precious right. Believe it or not, God gave it. But man continues to desire to take it from us. We might not agree, and most, I guarantee you, there, at least in my life, I haven't found somebody that agrees with me 100%. Even my wife, and I love her to death, we do not agree on everything. The blessed thing is that we can give each other's opinions and share it with one another without wanting to kill one another. Just because we're different. The Democrats and the Republicans look at things different. But we must realize in the end, it's not about Democrats and Republicans. It is about those that choose to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior or to reject Him or refuse Him as their Lord and Savior. In the end, that's what it boils down to. And nations will rage because they do not want to come under the Lordship of Christ. But though God gives them the time in this season to rebel, there is coming a time that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. So when we fight for the freedoms of what we believe, and especially those that have gone on before us. My mother died when I was 18. I was closer to her than my father. I talked with her with just about anything that I had issues with. I could go to my mom. She's a little woman, and she was feisty. And I was, now in her presence, I was never threatened by her. My dad, I was threatened. But you know, my mom, if she could get hold of my hand, she could bring me to my knees. She had this way of just grabbing my fingers, and I mean, I'd be down to my knees. So I made sure my hand stayed far away from her. But I was never threatened by my mom because I knew my mom's love was always looking for my good. She was showing me how to live life. But in my immature life, I didn't see plainly. It took years for me to grow and to learn what my mom did and what she did through my life to teach me. Still, so today, I honor her for what she has taught me by being a loving husband, a loving father, and a loving friend. As I grew, I seen her love, and I was able to see it and let it transform my life. Because I seen Jesus in her. When we see Jesus in those around us, it should change us. My verse that I have out here in men's ministry, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Whenever we're around each other, we rub. Rub means friction. We don't all agree. There is friction in our relationships, but that friction there, if we use it with the wisdom and knowledge of God, it becomes beneficial to us to sharpen us so that we are keen and able to use that knowledge to be able to bless God, our lives, and those around us. We honor loved ones who have died best by our deeds. Revelation 14, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them." Do you realize that what we believe is what we end up doing? All life is based on what we believe. Not what we say, but what we believe right here. We live exactly what we believe. That is why it is so important for us to know what we believe. And especially if we are Christians, follower of Christ, we are to read the Word so that Christ is revealed to us. He reveals who He is, what He desires, what He enjoys, what pleases the Heavenly Father, so that we may emulate who He is. Our actions show we are grateful by remembering what God has done through His Son, Jesus, but let our love for Him change our lives to live a life that honors Him. One that loves God with all their heart, their minds, and their souls lives a life that models the one that they love. If you love someone, I said it's a scary thing for me because I've only been married 39 years. Yep, 39 years. But I notice I am becoming more like my wife. It's a scary thought, isn't it? I'm becoming more. But the great thing is, there's good things in that. Because my wife, she has a personality. We each have personalities that rub off on each other. And if we watch and allow Jesus to help us, those around us can help mold us to be mature, become more mature in Christ. And that's what we are to do. That's the goal of God, to make us more like His Son, Jesus. See, Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, then you will bear much fruit." What Jesus is saying is, the vine, you realize the vine is the main stalk. There is where the roots come from. There is where the tree gets its stability. The vine gets its strength, its source, its energy, all from the vine. The branches are just places in which the blessings, the power, the knowledge, the wisdom of the vine can flow through, so that at the end of the branches, fruit is born. It comes forth. Jesus wants us to know that as we remain in Him, we will bear fruit that resembles Him. The more we become associated with Him, the more time we spend with Him, the more you become like Him. The more that they will say, "We have seen you have been with Jesus." Oh, man. What a blessing to know that people can see that the Spirit of God lives in us. That is a blessing. That is honoring. Hebrews 12:24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Abel's death brought punishment to his brother Cain. Jesus' death brings salvation and eternal life to his brethren that put their trust in him. See the difference? When we are in Christ, we bless those around us. Many men and women died so that we can live free in America, but Jesus died so that we can live free in life from the condemnation, that is now in this world and in the world to come. Jesus has freed us in any condemnation. When we stand before God, those that put their trust in Jesus stand approved, stand justified. We stand before God just as if we have never sinned. Do you know before God? Because when the blood of Jesus Christ is on, we look like Jesus in God's eyes. Oh, that there is a blessing. To know that when God sees us, he says, that's my beloved son. That's my beloved daughter. Oh, when we get to heaven, that's the words we're going to be looking for. We ain't going to want to hear those words, depart from me, for I know you not. Anyone that thinks they will, I'll tell you what, you have a rude awakening, because you know not what hell has in store for those that reject the perfect salvation, the free salvation that God gave us through Christ. Let's honor those who have died fighting for the freedoms we enjoy today. But let us also honor Jesus and all those that have given up their life to follow him, being examples for us of the faithful and the righteous. Change begins and ends with Jesus. It begins and ends with Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. You want to change? Spend more time with Jesus. You aren't going to change on your own. You can't. It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily tripped us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that awaited him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle over sin. We're here. So we did not give up our lives yet to the struggle of sin. We still battle sin day in and day out. But we have an advocate that Jesus has sent to help us to overcome that sin. As we do it, we live a life that is victorious, triumphant over the darkness that Satan wishes to procure over us. So with that, Philippians says, let us press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. For blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Hallelujah. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him forever. We have a promise. We get to reign with Christ. We get to become servants to be able to be in the presence of God Almighty forever. That is a blessing. To be able to know that we will not have to deal with the troubles of this world no longer. But God has a promised place for us where we righteousness reigns, peace and joy are abundant. So praise God. So on this Memorial Weekend, let us continue to decorate the outside of the graves of those who died for our freedom. But much more, let us take the advice the Scriptures give us in 1 Peter chapter 1 to adorn and decorate the inward heart with faith, hope, and love in Jesus so that His life and His death and His resurrection can be remembered and honored along with those who have died for righteousness' sake. We must remember. We must remember and allow their life to change us. Jesus is the light of the world. And when His light of truth shines in us, it brightens the way for us and others to come and enjoy the blessings of salvation and a right relationship with God, which brings love, joy, peace, and life everlasting. Hallelujah. So with that, today what I ask us to do, if you want, you don't have to, but I want everyone that desires to get a flag. I like to just stand up here if we take a flag for this service. And if you know of an individual that has influenced your life, I want us just to take some moments to remember them. Remember what they did. And especially if they are Christians that fought in the wars and gave their life. Remember that. And as we're giving them those out, what I would like, if somebody is so bold or so grateful, to be able to share with us one or two, a couple words of what that person influenced in their life, how they were influenced, and what in their life touched them that they want to exemplify in their life. What is it? And then I'm going to pray and dismiss. Anybody want to share? Yes. Amen. Amen. That is a blessing. Thank you, brother. That's what we want to take. Anybody else want to share? Go ahead. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We did that at Penn's ministry. We said, I asked, what is it that your parents influenced most in your life? Because they're the biggest influence in our lives. But there's individuals in our lives that influence our lives. And is it Herm Riffey, for one? I don't know if many, I know some, a lot of you probably know Herm. He influenced me. I'm in this pulpit because of his, the influence in his life to encourage me. It is a blessing to have brothers and sisters in Christ feed into your life, minister into your life to bring change. Anyone else? And it doesn't come from, it didn't come from her. It came from her, but it comes from Jesus living in her. The light and love of Christ shined through her, so that her was this awesome guy. This father was an awesome guy. This father-in-law was an awesome guy. This friend was an awesome guy. Anybody else? I want to give this time. This is the opportunity. When you say these things, it memorializes them. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sister. Praise God. Thank you. Anyone else? Don't want to leave anyone out. What I ask you to do, I'm going to pray, but I ask that you would take these flags in honor of the individual and you would place them out front here in the flower bed of the church, right out front here, this front wall, as a that was a memorial onto what they have, how they have influenced our lives. So that I'm going to see if we can keep them there for at least the whole month of June. I was going to put them in the front yard, but the lawnmower man probably won't like that. Mr. Trump, I'm sure, will have to pull them out, and he won't like doing the extra work. But if we put them right out here in the flower bed, just push them down in. We'll be able to see them for the next several weeks and just let it bring to memory. Because it's not just a specific day we want to honor them, but every day with our lives. With our lives. Anyone else before I go into prayer? Yes. Okay, well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for... Yes, Shelby. And praise God. Praise God. That's the ultimate thing, to be able to come to know our Lord and Savior. That's a great blessing. God gave it to us freely. Let's bless Him by accepting it and honor Him. Anyone else? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You once again for this time, this opportunity You have given us today to honor those that have fallen, and those that have influenced their life. And they all, Father, come from Jesus Christ touching their lives in one way or another. I pray, Lord, that You would continue to just minister into our lives, that just as You are the vine and we are the branches, and the life-giving nutrients of Your being would come in and through our lives, so that we would shine forth as lights into this dark world, and that we would bear fruit to be able to share with those around us, and that they may come to know and serve You as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, it is a blessing, and I pray that we would continue to remember it even after today, and that, Lord, we would thank You, thank the families, thank those that are in military, Father, for their acts of service today, for their giving up their time with their families to serve, so that we may enjoy these freedoms. So, Father, we just thank You. We ask Your blessing upon us. We ask You to go with us today as we walk in the power of Your Spirit, so that we may please You. Father, we ask this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed Memorial Weekend.